This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai, Bruchim Abayim, to the shir hosted by the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills, our weekly Friday shir. As we mentioned this past week, first of all, the shirim now are available on podcast. I see a lot of people are choosing that venue. Okay, very good. Everyone is encouraged, please check out, we had a shir last night on Shas Illuminated, questions on and answers on a variety of subjects. It was a very interesting program. You could please check that out. Also, now, all the shirim are all consolidated on a new website called rabbidg.com. Please look at that. You could find over there how to get any of the svarim, how to access any of the shiurim. There are certain shiurim that are only exclusive to one venue or a different venue, but they could all be found on the new website, rabbidg.com. So the Parsha shiur this week is sponsored by Rabbi and Mrs. Yehuda Leibovitz of Los Angeles. Shefa bracha v'hatzlacha. So we're discussing the final pasuk of this week's parsha, Parsha's Toldos, which tells us about the marriage and the union of Esav and Yishmael. And we mentioned that the simple pshat in the pasuk is that when Yaakov was told by his father and mother, Katzdi b'chayim v'nei b'noi s'cheis, and how displeased that Yaakov's parents would be if he would marry somebody from the Canaan. So Yaakov went ahead and he went to the house of his uncle Lavan. So Esav, being a good son, he wanted to follow what his father wanted. And even though he had married previously Yehudis from the Benoi Ches, nevertheless, he figured he'll marry another wife and make his parents happy. And therefore, he went to marry the daughter of Yishmael. However, we learned from the comments of the Gra in the Safra Ditzniusa that Esav marrying the daughter of Yishmael was actually an expression of what the pasuk says earlier, Vayistoim Esav es Yaakov al habracha. Esav hated Yaakov for the blessing asher berchoy aviv that his father blessed him. In other words, it's more than just Esav trying to please his parents, but because Esav hated Yaakov Avinu. And as the Gra says, if Esav and Yishmael would ever get together, they would destroy the world. So Esav figured he's going to be Meshadach Zayin with Yishmael, and thereby cause grave and great and tragic danger to Yaakov Avinu. Now, on Wednesday we explained some of the danger of the union of Esav and Yishmael, namely, Esav has the technology, the know-how, the scientific information, the ability to proliferate ideology, but their ideology is not so poisonous to world civilization. It is the ideology of Yishmael, which is so destructive and could literally destroy the world, because the ideology of Yishmael is to live in the Midbar, to break all the barriers and guidelines of society. They don't follow the rules and regulations of society. They live distant from all civilization in the Midbar. They don't wear big day Adam. They don't live in Batei Adam. And if Yishmael would ever be able to hone in and harness the technology of Esav, they would literally destroy the world. And what we would like to explain today is what happens exactly when Esav and Yishmael come together. In other words, what is it that Esav can accomplish by joining forces with Yishmael? What is the product of the union of Esav and Yishmael? And this is comes from the Sefer Mimamakim of the Chidushim of Rav Moshe Shapiro. I had the schus to host in my house. Must have been a little bit before COVID. So a few rabbanim from the UK, and they presented me with a set of svarim, Rav Ilan Halberstadt and Rav Tzvi and Rav Josh Morheim, and they presented me with the svarim of Rav Moshe Shapiro, Mima Makim, and Rav Moshe Shapiro sort of develops the following idea. The Medr says in Shmos Rabbah, this is number 15 on the sheet, this is sort of the second part of Wednesday night shir. The Medrash Rabbah says, Aval Barzel Ink Sivkan. The iron is not mentioned. You ever notice the Mishkan is made out of gold, silver, copper, but iron is not mentioned. Loi b'mikdash, loi b'mishkan, the base mikdash, the Mishkan, lama shenimtsal by Edom harasha shechrivo beis hamikdash. Because Edom, the wicked who destroyed the temple, is compared to iron. Lelam decha, to teach you. Shemikol hamalchios yikabel hakadosh baruch hu doyrein laasid lavai. In the future, God will accept gifts from all the nations except for Edom. Bahare Bavel, Babylon, Afhi Hechriva Isai. It also destroyed the temple. Ela al Shaloi Kikea Isai. Bavel did not uproot the temple. Aval Edom, but Edom Maxiv, but what does it say about it? Ha'oimrim Aru Aru Ari Isaiba. They're able to uproot till the very foundation. Until Edom came along, the temple had a foundation. Therefore, iron was not written by the Mikdash or the Mikdash or the Mishkan because Edom is compared to iron. So the Medrash is telling us that the unique viciousness of Edom is that they are able to uproot the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash at their very foundation. Okay. One second. Okay. So the Medrash Rabbah is telling us, again, continuing on from what we were discussing Wednesday night about the combination of Esav and Yishmael, the Medrash Rabbah is telling us that what Esav, what Edom was able to do that Bavel was not able to do, is that Edom was able to uproot the very foundations of the Beis HaMikdash, or the very foundations of the temple. So the question is, how is Edom able to uproot the foundations of the temple? How are they able to achieve that? So if you look in Parshas Bechukosai, we have as follows. V'nasati fanai bachem. I will place my face against you. V'nigavtem. You will be smitten lefnei oyevechem, before your enemy. V'radu bachem soyne'echem. Your enemy will dominate you. V'nastem. You will flee. V'ein roideifeschem. And without anyone pursuing you. So there's something very interesting over here. It says, I will place my face against you, and I will smite you before your enemies, and your enemies will pursue you, but you will run, but nobody's really running after you. In other words, viradu vachem sanechem, your soinim will dominate you, but nobody's really running after you. So if you look in this pasuk, we have two terms for enemy. We have Oyevechem, and we have Soyneechem. It says, I will place my face against you, and I will smite you before your enemy, and your enemy will dominate you. So we've many times in the past discussed the connotation of the word Oyev and Soyne. More notably, we discussed it in reference to a pasuk in Nitzavim. It says, "V'shavta Hashem lekecha v'shamata b'koyloi b'chol asher anochim savchayim v'nasan Hashem lekecha al oyevecha v'al soyne echa asher defucha." God will place the curses on your oyvim and on your soynim. Now we've always expressed and we've always tried to delve into the meaning of oyev and soyne in terms of this pasuk in Nitzavim. However, there's another pasuk in Bechukosai that also refers to Oivim and Soinim. So whatever we're going to say, whatever we did say in the Psukim in Nitzavim, we could apply it to Bechukosai. So this comes from the Sefer, the humble work Magad Rekia Amporim. And it's brought over here, the Ramban. The Ramban says the words Oyev and Soine is a remez to the two nations that always pursue us. Now, the Ramban does not identify who these two nations are. However, we find the Ramban elsewhere in the Maimar of Vikuach, he does explain who these Oyevim are. The Ramban says, V'karasi lohem parshas v'hoyo ki yavoy alecha kol marim l'abrach v'akosh nasati v'anecha. V'goymer ha-parsha. And ad v'nosan Hashem l'kach is always saying, Alivech v'zen asher redafucha. Oyevecha, says Ramban, are the Noitzrim, the Christians, and Soyne'echa are the Yishma'ilim. So the Ramban's opinion is Oyev is the Christians, Soyne are the Yishma'ilim. However, the Ramban does not explain. Now, the Rabbeinu Bechaye agrees to the Ramban that these two words refer to Esav and Yishmael. However, he argues on the Ramban in terms of which one is Esav and which one is Yishmael. In other words, Rabbeinu Bechaye says Oyev is Yishmael and Soyne is Esav. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Oyevecha is Yishmael, Soynecha is Esav. And Nov and Micha also testified about them. He said, Torum Yadcha al Sarecha, V'chol Oyevecha Yikaresu. These are the two umays that we are meshubed under them and we are scattered among them. Why is Yishmael called the Oyev? Why is Esav called the Soine? Because the Oyev is worse than the Soine. Because the Soine, even though he does evil, he does it berachmanus. But the Oyev, he has eternal enmity toward us. He doesn't give any rachamim. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that Yishmael is the Oyev. Yishmael never has rachamim. The Christian world, at least they have a modicum of rachamim. Oyev is a lashon of avoy. It has the same letters. Because anyone who falls in the hands of Yishmael screams out, oy va'avoy. Okay. And Esav, on the other hand, is called soine. Like it says, tachas nua ki tivaal, refers to Esav. Shenamar v'yes Esav sonesi. So the Rabbeinu Bechaye explains the chiluk between oyvim and soinim. Oyev is worse than a soine. And Oyev does not have Rachmanis at all, and Yishmael is called the Oyev. Now, if you look in the Sefer Toiras Yaakov, of Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer, we have to go visit him when we go to Eretz Yisrael. He's a descendant of the Kaf HaChaim. He speaks at length about how to define Oyev and Soine. And we're going to go, for today's share, we're going to be going with the opinion of Rabbeinu Bechaye, that Oyev is Yishmael and Soine is Esav. That's how they learn the psukim in Nitzavim. So taking it back to Bechukosai, I think we would have license to say that if God says, V'nasati fanai bachem, I'm going to place my face against you, V'nigavtem, and you will be smitten, Lefnei oyevechem, before your enemies, that refers to Yishmael. V'radu bachem soyne'echem, that refers to Esav. Now I want to say another chiddush. Half of the chiddush we once said, it's printed in the English book, The Mystery and the Majesty, and Be'ezus Hashem in the upcoming Hebrew Sefer on Bereishis. The next part we never said before. You ready for this? After the Akedah, which we once explained was the method with which the Ribbono Shel Olam demonstrated Yitzchak's superiority over Yishmael, because remember before the Akedah, Yishmael says, well, you had a milah at 8 days, I had milah at 13 years old. So Yitzchak says, really? And if God would tell me to sacrifice my whole body now, I would do it. We once explained that that's why the Akedah was not a nisayon for Yitzchak. It says, v'alekim nisas Avraham. But it's not a nisayon for Yitzchak because Yitzchak accepted it upon himself. He told Yishmael, if God would tell me to sacrifice myself, I would do it. So you can't call it a test for Yitzchak. Yitzchak just brought it upon himself. However, at the end of the Akedah, the Malach says, V'yirash Zaracha Eshar Oyevav. Your descendants will inherit the gateway of their Oyevim. So we wanted to say that refers to Yishmael, because the purpose of the Akedah was to demonstrate Yitzchak's superiority over Yishmael. But Marv Rabbeisa, if you remember in last week's Parsha, Parshas Chayisara, What bracha does Lavan and Mesuel give Rivka? Achaseinu ad hayila alfei revava v'yirash zaracha eis shar soinav. Why are Lavan and Mesuel giving Rivka a bracha that they should inherit the gateway of their soine? So I want to say, because they're done with Yishmael. Yishmael was already chased out. It's all about Yitzchak. But who's going to come from Yitzchak? Yaakov and Esav. So they're giving Rivka a bracha. You're going to produce a Yaakov. You're going to produce an Esav. But Zaracha, which is only Yaakov, he should overcome Shar Soinov. He should overcome Esav. That's how we can interpret it, that bracha. V'yir Zaracha Shar Soinov. Now, look at a Rashi. Rashi says, in number 17, She'eni mamid soinim ela mikem uvachem. When the pasuk says v'radu bachem, right, v'nosati panei bachem, v'nigavim avechem v'radu bachem, then I'm going to make enemies from you, in you. She'b'shah she'umay so'olam oivdei alilam oimdim aliso, when the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, stand up against Israel, einam mevakshim ela mashav agolei, they only seek out what's revealed and open. Shenemar, v'haya im zara Yisrael, v'ala midyan v'amolek uvnei kedem v'yachin aleim v'yashchisos yivola aretz. Avo b'shah she'amid aleichem mikem u'bachem, says God, when I establish against you, from you, and in you, when I establish enemies from within you, hey mechapsim achar hamatmoini yoshalchem, they will search after your hidden treasures. V'chein hu oimer v'asher achlu sha'ar ami. So Rashi is telling us quite a wondrous chiddush, that when the Gentiles seek to destroy, they can only destroy the revealed. When God uses our enemies from within the Jewish people, they don't just burn down the house, they seek for the treasures. I mean, if you have a stranger come to the house, they can only take what's revealed. But when family tries to destroy and harm, they know where all the hidden goods are. So there's this very interesting idea that even though the pasuk says that I'm going to place upon you Oyev and Soine, which you would think means Oyev is Yishmael and Soine is Esav, Rashi learns that this refers to some kind of enemy from within. So Rav Moshe Shapiro advances the following wondrous approach. He says, Amru Chazal, Bavel also destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but it did not raise it from the foundation. Aval Edoim Maktzivba, what does it say about Edoim? Ha'oimrim Aru Aru Ad HaYisayba. Destroy, destroy until the very foundations. Ad Achshav HaYisayba. Until now, the foundation was in it. Chazal are megala to us in their words that Edom was not did not suffice by just destroying the Beis HaMikdash, but they wanted to raise the foundations. And Chazal say that their hand is still outstretched to uproot whatever remains from the foundation. Okay. What is the explanation? Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, there are two vantage points of the Beis HaMikdash. Hapen HaRishon, the first perspective, is the revealed part of the Beis HaMikdash. The service of the Kohanim and the Karbanos, the Levim, and the Zuchus of these services, the Shechina rests in the Beis HaMikdash. So you have the open and the revealed aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Beis HaMikdash also has a hidden perspective, a Ganuz element. Now, the hidden and secret element of the Beis HaMikdash, that is extant even when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer here. Now, what exactly is the foundation of the hidden, secret sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he knew it would ultimately be destroyed. He built a place to hide the Aron down, down, deep in the underground labyrinths of the Beis HaMikdash. And Yoshiyahu commanded that the Aron be buried there 100 years before their destruction. And they buried there the staff of Aron and the jug of the oil and the jug of the man. Meaning when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he was afraid that it would be destroyed, not just physically, but even the secret, hidden aspect of the temple should be destroyed. Therefore, he dug deep down a Makom Geniza for the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, a place that from there you could crack open, it could sort of illuminate even the darkness of Galus. In other words, there is a hidden element, a hidden realm of the Beis HaMikdash that was never destroyed. It was dug by Shlomi HaMelech. There was hidden the Aron and the Tzinsenes Haman. Bavel destroyed the outer facade of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Edom was not satisfied. Edom opposed even the hidden aspect of the Beis HaMikdash that illuminates even in a time of darkness. And that is what David said, that Edom wanted to Aru, Aru, Ad HaYisoidba. Now this opposition to the temple of Edom cannot be satisfied. As long as there is any glimmer of light emanating from the temple, Edom wants to destroy and destroy and destroy. Now, how is Edom able to destroy this secret element of Kedusha? What arrows does Edom use to be able to dig deep down and uproot the underground Kedusha and the secret element of the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, we go back to the Medrash that we started the shir with Wednesday night, the Yalkut Shemoni. The Yalkut Shemoni says that Edom is a agola, a fat cow. And Yishmael is a shor. Woe to the earth, the Medrash says, if you pair up a shor, a male shor and a female shor. You know what they're going to do? Yifatchu v'yishadidu is kol ha'ma'amokim. They will open up and they will destroy all the deep places. The Medrash is telling us that when Esav is Meshadach and Esav joins with Yishmael, they could destroy not just the reveal, they could dig deep, deep, deep down and destroy the underground foundations of sanctity. In other words, if you want to know what is the weapon of Esav to uproot, to do Aru, Aru, Ad HaYisoidba, the answer is, when Esav joins up with Yishmael, they are able to mekayim Aru, Aru, Ad HaYisoidba. Now, how do they do that? Didn't Rashi say the only way to uproot the treasures and the hidden is from you and within you, only Bachem and Mikem? Now we're going to learn something which is going to be one of the most shocking things you'll ever hear. And that is, Hatshuva Ramuza B'Divrei Chazal, the answer. What are the weapons that Esav used to dig that and uproot the foundation? It's that which the Medrash tells us when the Shar Zachar gets together with the Nekeva, Yifatchu V'Yishadidu is Kol HaMa'amakam. Meaning the pairing of Yishmael with Esav is the weaponry, is the arsenal with which Esav uses to destroy the foundations. The depth of this is explained in the words of Chazal that we read earlier, that when the Gentiles destroy, they destroy the Galoi. But when I bring upon you Bachem u'mikem, they could search out the Matmonios. Meaning, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, the combination of Soine and Oyev, which refers to Esav and Yishmael, produces a new level, Bachem u'mikem. There's nothing more a part of you than the union of Esav and Yishmael. We're going to explain. If you want to know how do you uproot the Jewish people from the very foundation, it's the pairing of Esav and Yishmael. That's Bachem u'mikem. So the question is, who is this chevra that is produced by Esav and Yishmael? Who are they? What are they called? We know who Esav is. We know who Yishmael is. But what do we call the people who Esav and Yishmael produced together that have the capacity to uproot the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash and Judaism? And the answer is, we're about to learn something that's going to come as a complete shock to everybody, that the offspring of Esav and Yishmael are the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav is produced from the combination of Esav and Yishmael. Now, there are various forms of Erev Rav. Ki Yadua, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, but says his own mitzvah, it's Tarfalam Tarusha Umas Ha'olam. When Israel left Egypt, it joined to them an admixture of the nations of the world. That admixture became mixed in Klal Yisrael and has never been rectified. Chazal revealed to us that it still is extant in Klal Yisrael, that Bechina that is connected to that Erev Rav. It brings into Klal Yisrael Erev, a mixture, foreign admixture. The Gra and the Evan Shlema writes, there are five types of Erev Rav. Number one, Balei Machloikis in Lashon Hara. Number two, that's Amalek and Esav. In other words, in Klal Yisrael, there is a influence of Esav, an Erev Rav of Esav. They are the Balei Machloikis in Lashon Hara. Balei Taiva is the Erev Rav of Yishmael. Hypocrites is another kind of Erev Rav. Those who run after Kavod is another kind. Those who run after money is another kind. And the worst are the Balei Machloikis. The Gra writes further, the Gula will not come until Hashem remembers the bris of the three Avos. From Avraham came Yishmael, from Yitzhak came Esav, but we will not be successful until we remove the worst admixture at all. And that is the Erev Rav that emanates from Yaakov. But what this means is as follows. Every one of the Avos has, so to speak, a psoilas, a evil klipa that is opposing their essence. Yishmael is the psoilas of Avraham. Yishmael is the corruption of Midas HaChesed. Esav is the corruption of Midas HaDin. The Erev Rav that corresponds, the psoilas that corresponds to Yaakov is the Erev Rav. Yaakov is the Av that incorporates Chesed and Gevura. He's the Ishtam. And opposite him stand the Erev Rav and the admixture of Esav and Yishmael. So therefore, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, Erev Rav is the klipa of Yaakov that includes the power of Yishmael and the power of Esav together. In light of this, we can understand the Gra that we started with. Esav, in being Meshadich with Yishmael, wanted to bring the world to the Madrega of the opposing force of Yaakov Avinu. Esav is the opposing force of Yitzchak, not the opposing force of Yaakov. Listen carefully. Yishmael is the opposing force of Avraham. Esav is the opposing force of Yitzchak. But Esav hated Yaakov so much, he wanted to bring the opposition to Yaakov. So how does he do it? He marries Yishmael, that produces something called Erev Rav, and then that will bring the potential danger to Yaakov Avinu. It is the force that combines the two klipas of Esav and the klipa of Yishmael, and because Esav hated Yaakov, he married into Yishmael. Now, we know that in our times it has materialized the combination of Esav and Yishmael. But it's dependent on us. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, if we purify ourselves from the Bechina called Erev Rav, from all admixtures in the Jewish people, in our ideology, in our homes, then we're able to overcome the klipa of Esav and the klipa of Yishmael. And this is what the Paitan is mespalel, Kale Seir v'choisnoi. Destroy Seir, Esav, v'choisnoi, and his father-in-law, namely Yishmael. And if we do that, v'yalu l'tzion moishiyim. So realize that in this parasha we have the ascent of Yaakov Avinu the Ishtam, And Zelu Mazel also like him, because Esav hated Yaakov so much, he was Meshadich with Yishmael, and that produces the Klipa of Yaakov, namely the Erev Rav itself. My Rabbi Isai, this concludes this segment of the Shir, and wishing everyone Bracha v'Hatzlacha, and great Shabbos. Don't go anywhere, because the next segment is on Tefillah. Okay?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.